Thank you, Chair and Supervisor.
Thank you. Have a great day.
From the Director, Architecture, Engineering, and Environmental Services Section, Facilities Management Division, Department of Administrative Services, submitting an informational report responding to audit's recommendations regarding residency of contractor employees working on county construction contracts. This item is also going to the Committee on Economic and Community Development. It's for informational purposes only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Please introduce yourself. And
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, Greg High, Director of Architecture, Engineering, and Environmental Services.
Jerry Hare, Director of Audits, Milwaukee County Comptroller's Office.
Thank you. Go ahead, proceed with your report.
Informational report you have here is A&E's response to an audit that was conducted for payments made over a 19-month period between June 1, 2011 through December 31st, 2012. The audit came up with five different recommendations. We have developed this information report to indicate how were we going to respond to those. I would say that we already have, in a very real sense, responded to all of them. And I'll go through them quickly if it's the pleasure of the committee. First recommendation was establishing and documenting a residency goal for each project, including documenting reasons for which less than a 50% goal was recommended. Upon receipt of this draft audit report in July, our A&E section immediately implemented a requirement that the approved residency goal form that establishes the goal for each construction project be attached to the administrative contract award before it's routed for approval. So even though I tell all of the project managers, and they're very aware of it, that there are two things when you start a project that you deal with, and that one is the DBE goal setting, and the second is the residency goal setting. So that's firmly in place, and this requirement that this form be added to the award document just provides a check for myself before we recommend an award that, and in fact, all the paperwork has been completed. The second recommendation is requiring contractors to provide all required forms both during and at the conclusion of each project. A&E section has recently experienced significant turnover in personnel preparing construction contract invoicing for review and approval. At this time, all invoices for a construction contract require that a checklist be attached to the invoice that indicates the contractor submitted all required residency forms. The staff is being retrained to emphasize that increased scrutiny is required in this area of invoice review. Invoices will not be processed without all the required forms attached. And I personally review each of those invoices to make sure that those forms are there. Verify reported gross payroll information with accompanying reports as they are provided. That's recommendation number three. This includes revising the resident utilization form to improve the accuracy of the reported ongoing resident residency participation. Also, to facilitate this verification, design a system for use by contractors for reporting payroll data on construction projects that provide for the ability to electronically verify residency information. And we have responded to this recommendation by requiring changes in that invoicing process. Revisions to the paper forms are in process to allow verification of gross payroll information as they're provided. Electronically verifying any of the invoicing items will require significant changes in the current traditional paper submittals that we work with here in our area. The invoice review and paper certificate of payment process is being looked at this time. We have the commitment of additional staff time and resources in collaboration with community business development partners, economic development, and IMSD to integrate an electronic digital solution. I've visited the MMSD to look at how they deal with things. I know Dr. Anthony from Community Business has visited several other local municipalities, I think the City of Milwaukee and MATC. And we're looking at a certain piece of software, and While Community Business Development has something in their budget from this year to purchase and install that software, it does have modules for prevailing wage and residency tracking. And so we're looking into that. That's certainly a possibility, and we'll work with them to deal with that and integrate that into our contract compliance monitoring. The fourth recommendation is working with contractors to improve participation as needed while the project is still active for projects underachieving. As I said, with every invoice, we get a report from the contractor telling us where they're at with this goal in each of their invoicing and invoiced dollars so far. We have currently a contacts. We currently contact contractors who are having difficulty meeting the residency goal when we review invoices. A formal letter sent to the contractor that does not that doesn't submit the forms or is having difficulty with residency. The letter requires that the contractor respond immediately. Some contractors respond in a timely fashion, others do not. We will continue to reach out to the contracting community during the bidding period, before the bid, or during the advertisement of the bid, at the beginning of the projects, at the construction kickoff meetings, and during the course of the project to emphasize the residency compliance issues and potential penalties for non-compliance. Item 5, impose available sanctions when contractors fail to provide required documents and achieve residency goals. Our current response to contractors who fail to achieve residency goals is to send them a formal letter notifying them that they have not met the goal, and if they are awarded another county construction contract in the future and they once again fail to achieve residency goals, one of the actions, following actions are taken: withhold payment on the contract, or terminate and cancel the agreement, or debar the contractor from bidding for a period of up to 2 years, or resort to any other remedy available to the county at law or in equity. These actions, if imposed, would need to be well thought out in advance. With current DOS-FM policy on imposing these sanctions is to use flexibility with a contractor for an initial failure to achieve the residency goal. After the initial failure, the contractor is put on notice that failure in a second contract with Milwaukee County will definitely result in one of the listed actions above being taken. To date, we haven't run into that situation. We've had, I believe, about 5 or 6 contracts that did not meet the goal the first time around. Currently, there are 2 or 3 contractors that are in the midst or getting to the end of their contracts where we're concerned that they're not going to meet the goal, and we're working with them to deal with that. But as we get to the end of those and a final payment is submitted, a final invoice, and they haven't met the goal, we're looking at exactly which of these sanctions we would take. Additional considerations are our limited pool of contractors interested in working with the county, willingness by contractors to file claims against the county. These may create more of a problem than we have resources to deal with. Corporation Council has also identified recently enacted state provision that specifies any public contract shall be awarded to the lowest responsible bidder, and that except when necessary to secure federal aid, a political subdivision may not use a bidding method that gives preference based on geographic location of the bidder or that uses criteria other than the lowest responsible bidder in awarding a contract. We reviewed this with Corporation Council. They indicated that there is a USDOT prohibiting of geographical preferences. I think the board's aware of that issue, that if there's federal state money involved, that we have a goal of zero. But on the other county contracts, we currently have a 50% goal, unless there are other circumstances that goal should be reduced. These provisions raise continuing concerns about the scope of the residency goals included in county contracts, at least as they relate to public contracts, which are defined by state statute as a means of a contract for the construction, execution, repair, remodeling, or improvement of public work or building, or for the furnishing of supplies or material of any kind, proposals for which are required to be advertised for by law. I'm here this morning to tell you that we're making a commitment to work with audit services and Corporation Council to ensure the process in place for accumulating payroll data and monitoring compliance with residency is functional as intended and in compliance with all applicable laws. I think Mr. Hare may have some additional comments.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think if you look at the first four recommendations, it's clear that the division is on top of things in terms of administering this county policy. The fifth recommendation that goes to sanctions, I think, can be a work in progress. I think there's room to discuss with policymakers what their penalties and rewards ought to be. But to me, what this really comes down to is the Corp Counsel's opinion about whether or not we can even be doing this the way we're doing it. So there's a number of things that you have as options. One would be to have a discussion today and see where that leads us, and not that it would preclude the next step, which would be to have Corp Counsel work with the division and with our office and try and identify two things. First of all, what does the law say in terms of what we're doing? And maybe more importantly, what can we do within the law? I think the last time we dealt with this issue was when a couple of years ago, Corp Counsel advised us that we could not apply this requirement to federal and state-funded contracts. And so Mr. High and his staff began to focus on county-funded projects. But I think in reflecting on that, we may have missed an opportunity to work with Corp Counsel and instead say, what can we do if we have this desire to have construction funds used to pay contractors who use county residents in their workforce? So it may be something that we can deal with today, but if it's a will of the committee, it's something that I think could and should be addressed with Corp Counsel, the division, and audit staff to try and bring you something that's workable within the law.
Thank you, Mr. Hare. Mr. High, comments from supervisors? Supervisor Mayo?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Hare, you hit it right on the head. You stated all the things we cannot do. And Mr. I understand that we have this conversation in an agenda setting. And I want Corp Counsel to tell us what we can do. There's a number of things that we can do to solve that issue. And I think we should stop saying that we're going to penalize someone, because when Corp Counsel get involved with it, they're not meeting the obligation to our contract. So we are not penalizing. We're just saying that you're not living up to the obligations that we put in the contract. So there's many a ways to skin a cat. And I'm not trying to skin no one, but I'm trying to say what we can do. And I think, Mr. Because one of my questions was, what can we do? Because you cannot come up with any ideas of saying what we can do versus saying what Corp Counsel said we cannot do. There's a number of visions that we should be able to do and get at this. And I hope you go back and come back next month and give us some ideas what we can do. And if any supervisors, Mr. Chair, have any comments or questions that they would like to have to the Mr. Hare, Corp Counsel, and Mr. High, they should, or Mr. Dransett, to make sure that we incorporate that, because I have some things that I'll sit down with you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Lipscomb, and then Supervisor Jersey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Following up on that, I would be interested, I just lost my page here. I would be interested particularly in some attention to the response on point five and to the four areas, particularly the last area, resort to any remedy available to the county at law or in equity. It seems that the Corporation Counsel's expertise would be helpful there in perhaps formalizing what in the contract might need to be developed, you know, whether it becomes part of the liquidated damages portion of your contract in terms of there being some sort of formula, you know, because unless it's spelled out there, I don't know that there is really a bullet point four, and that seems like an opportunity.
Mr. Chairman, I think Supervisor Lipscomb's dead on number five, the recommendation five on sanctions and rewards, whatever. It's wholly caught up in the question of what's legal. Mm-hmm. What's legal, we can enforce as a contract provision. What's not, we may have to deal with some other way, but I would agree those two are very much related.
And then on those general points about what's legal or not legal, I hope Corporation Counsel will work vigorously to figure out how to enforce the policy and not look sort of for reasons to say, no, you can't do anything. I think, you know, my clear reading of the statute talks about geographic location of the bidder. I believe that that was aimed squarely at the city of Milwaukee, which had a local business enterprise bidding incentive. So if they were located inside the city, they had a 10%, I think, incentive. I'm sorry?
5 or 10, something like that.
Yeah, 5 or 10%. It had a limitation on it, but it was all about geographic location of the bidder. It was not about residency of employees. And so I believe that our policy squarely fits within qualifying the bidder as a responsible bidder, that this is like other requirements that we place on our bidders as a minimum qualification. And I would just ask that the Corporation Council work vigorously to try to enforce this and help us enforce it rather than look for ways out. But I thank you for the time.
Supervisor Jersey?
I appreciate the chairman's comment about what we can do, because I think that's an important question. And in looking, I believe this is a very recent rule from the state. I know Corp Council had given some opinions previously regarding other exceptions that may have existed, but then the state passed this law, I think as recently as last budget. I'm not sure if it was budget. Okay. Because when you look at the language, the language that's quoted within the report here is actually much more inclusive than just talking about residency. It states a political subdivision may not use a bidding method that gives preference based on the geographic location of the bidder or that uses criteria other than the lowest responsible bidder, which almost would suggest that you couldn't even consider the DBE criteria. In other words, that only the lowest bid can be accepted. Hopefully that's not the way that is necessarily reading it. It does talk about except when necessary to secure federal aid, because certainly federal aid takes into consideration DBE and so on. But I do think we need to get a clarification of that. And even if we could not, for example, give preference based on geographic location, I still think it's useful information for the county to get information like that. So would the statute deny us at least getting information when we get bids? And more importantly, what are we able to get with regard to the bidding process given that state language? So I think getting guidance from Corp Council on this would be the way to go before we take take any other actions on penalties, et cetera. So I don't know if we need a referral for Corp Council.
Would you like to make that motion?
Why don't we make it a formal motion? So I refer the report from Greg High to Corporation Council, specifically with regard to the legal questions that have been raised, to report back to this committee as well as ECD committee, which will also be reviewing this. I don't know if I can make that that motion here for both of us, both committees.
Any other comments from committee members? Just one last point I'd like to make is that why we're doing this, that these are 100% county-funded projects, that the bill is 100% being paid by the county taxpayers. Yet when you look at the report, we're getting less than 50% of the jobs. And that's an outflow of capital from our community. It's a it's a negative economic impact. And what we're trying to do is increase the economic impact in our community. The more sort of water you can hold in the bucket, the better off you are for your local economy. And for Mr. Hare, do we have any idea of the residency kind of impact from other counties when, whether it's Waukesha County or Racine County, when they let a contract, how much is how much participation from their residents do we have? Do they have?
I don't know, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I don't know of any other county that collects that information, but we haven't done that research. I can look into that.
Thank you. And so we have the economic impact on it. And I think the key word when you look at some of the language, it says responsible bidder. And I think that gives you some leeway, because I don't consider a contractor to be a responsible contractor if they're not providing us the information that we request in the manner in which we request it. So, you know, I think all of that needs to be taken into consideration. But the main goal and what we're all searching for here is the economic impact on our community. The more money we can keep in our neighborhoods, the better off we are, the more jobs for people. That's what we're interested in. And how we achieve that is a bit of a gray area, but that's the ultimate goal. Any other questions? We do have Supervisor Jerzyk.
Well, just one other comment. I mean, this isn't just political subdivisions. I mean, I note that the recent Northwestern Mutual building that's going to be built along the lakefront there is going to use disadvantaged business enterprise participation. Good corporate citizens do that practice. So, you know, it's not just something that is a concern of Milwaukee County. No, that's not specifically talking about the residency, but I am concerned about that language uses other criteria other than the lowest bid. That's pretty inclusive.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Madam Clerk, we do have a motion to refer to Corp Counsel. Could you please call the roll?
Mayo.
Aye.
Borkowski.
Aye.
Jerzyk.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Alexander.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to refer this item to Corporation Counsel is approved.
All right, Madam Chair, we're on Department of Administration Services. Item